Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. Where does 10 years go? Very fast when you get to this age. But anyway, it's nice to be here. Even since July, when I said that I was going to retire at Christmas, suddenly we're at Christmas in a blink of an eye. Again, something to do with age, I think. But our reading today is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. And it's page 1193 on the Pew Bible. First Timothy chapter 5, reading from verse 1. And it's entitled, Advice About Widows, Elders, and Slaves. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older men as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues, night and day, to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow should be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Amen. Now I'm going to talk just a wee bit about that, and I'm going to give you some experiences, if you like, of being a pastoral assistant in Liberton Kirk, and we'll see how it goes. But first of all, from its beginning, the church was made up of diverse groups of people. At first, it was entirely Jewish, and then in a short time, it included converts and Hellenistic Jews. Later, God revealed that the church was open to everyone, men and women from different nationalities, races, and social levels, molded into one spiritual family, just like us here this morning. So after 2,000 years of practice in our faith, why is it so hard for some of today's churches to get along? Now, in this area, we're very fortunate, but not just fortunate, we work hard, because in this area, there's lots of good churches who all work together. But that isn't always the case. Some churches don't get along so well. I remember being session clerk down at New Haven for a long time, and we were so much out on a limb that we were paired with a church from Wester Hills. So we couldn't really, you know, do joint events and things like that. So this area is different, and that's a good thing. Also, you get people who jump from church to church as well. But I'm glad to say it doesn't happen here as well, which reminds me of a story about a man who was shipwrecked onto a desert island. And of course, he was there for a long, long time. And eventually, when the rescuers came, they drove up to, they sailed up to the island, and they came onto the island, and here they met this chap. And he had three buildings behind him. And he says, well, I'm so glad that you've come to rescue me. But what's the three buildings? And he says, well, that one there is my house. That one there is my church. And that one there is the church I used to go to. So it's good to stay in the same church. But Paul in verse 1 says that no church leader should exercise authority in a domineering way. Instead, they should treat all believers like family, with dignity and with care. And since no two people are exactly alike, we cannot treat everyone exactly alike, but we can use equal respect. Older people need to be treated as individuals with specific responsibilities and needs. And some of our issues come because of the age-old problem with the generation gap. And Mark Twain has a comment about this, and he sums it up, I think, quite well. And he said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I reached 21, I was amazed how much he had learned in 7 years." So we all need to balance the church's responsibility with the individual needs. And over the years here at Liberton Kirk, I've really enjoyed visiting and ministering to our senior ladies. All these widowed ladies were old enough to be my mother, so it was pretty easy to treat them as such. Now, some were more difficult to deal with than others. Some were needier than others. Some wanted more attention, and so on and so on. But it's important to listen to their stories and, of course, their complaints. Run a message or two and repair some stuff as well. And I've done all of these things for older people, even collecting medication. And everyone is treated with great kindness, but it's probable as well that they don't get many visitors. They don't get much other company. So anytime there are older women in the church, especially widows, they need to be cared for, looked after, visited with, and prayed for as well. But the same applies, of course, to older men. There's an elderly gentleman, he will be 102 in January, and has been a church member for over 80 years, not all at Liberton Kirk. And he just loves to tell me stories of days gone by. He's such a lovely man, and visiting him is just so easy. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to minister to him. And of course, he's very, very sharp and alert for his age, and he loves sport. In fact, he knows more about it than me. It's not saying a lot, anyway. But these instructions, going back to our reading, these instructions Paul sent to Timothy were, of course, sent in a completely different environment than today's. Today, we have benefits and a social service that looks after widows who are really in need. But the church is still called to look after the elderly, both within and out with the church. And I think that the senior citizens that we have here at Liberton do a good job at that, because I think the split is maybe 50-50 church members and 50% out with the church. And of course, when I go around and speak to them all, I get all their cares and their woes, and they're going for scans and different things like that, and that's good. And then I'll often go and visit them at home, whether they're a member or not. Verse 1 says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly," as if we would, "but exalt him as if he were your father, and treat older women as mothers." I'm sure that we all have different experiences of mothers and fathers, some good and some possibly not so good. But we are to treat the elderly with a great deal of love and respect. It's the church's responsibility. But sometimes we tend to shy away, don't we? We shy away from people who display signs of forgetfulness. We're nervous about dementia and its implications. Recently, when I was visiting an elderly lady member of Liberton Kirk in the Royal Edinburgh Hospital, I entered the locked ward to be surrounded by three elderly ladies. One of them took my arm and she told everyone that I was her husband, while another took my other hand and tried to lead me along the corridor. None of them would let go, even when the nurse was trying to persuade them to let go. And eventually the nurse just gave up and said that they would give up after 5 minutes. Not so. I had to prise them apart. A week later, I was visiting another elderly lady in the Elms nursing home. We were sitting chatting in the quiet room when another lady came in and started to join in the conversation and asked if I could escort her to lunch, if I was still there. I agreed, and she said, okay, it's a date then. And then she proceeded to say, never run after a man or a bus, because another one will be along in a minute. You see, sometimes behind the seriousness, it can be quite funny. But we have to have patience. Patience is a virtue, and I think patience is a God-given gift as well. Sometimes we're at a loss how to engage people who are lonely or depressed, because loneliness is a common experience amongst the elderly. And I think that the best thing we can do is to spend time with them, listen to them, especially their stories of days gone by, even if we've heard them all before. It's the short-term memory that's the problem, and listening to stories is a core social activity. Here's a verse from the Old Testament, and it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. But our lives are far too short, aren't they? I think as you get older, this becomes more and more apparent. What seemed like an endless future 40 years ago suddenly becomes a very finite future. I was talking to someone who's in their 70s just the other day, and they had been to a funeral of an old friend. They made the comment that they are now at the age when this is a regular occurrence. Life gets shorter and shorter the older you get. Your ability to do things declines, along with your strength and your general well-being. And at every turn of the road, there is one less companion walking alongside you. So then, what should our response to all this be? Well, it's to remember our Creator. To remember that we are answerable to the one who made us and who calls us to account. And notice that when we should do this, he doesn't say, the older you get, the more you need to be aware of your Creator. He says, remember him in the days of your youth. It's when we are in the peak of health, when life stretches out before us with all its potential, all its possibilities, that you need to remember your Creator. But depression in older people is also very common. Some grow old very gracefully and others don't. And sometimes, of course, it all depends on how life has treated them, their life experiences, if you like. We're also a wee bit uncertain as to how to visit people who live in residential care and how much to offer in terms of Christian and spiritual support. And I believe there's a church in Aberdeen who started to visit a local sheltered complex. And over the years, things were going so well that they set up a church in that complex. And I believe it's very popular and it's now open to all. But as you know, here in Liberton, we take services in the local nursing homes. And that can be quite challenging. Only a few weeks ago, I took a service at Guthrie House. And an elderly lady who has Alzheimer's kept talking and wolf-whistling at me all during the service. It was quite funny, really, but it's hard to concentrate on what you're saying. But heckling is all part and parcel of the occasion, I'm afraid, in the nursing homes. Although it must be said, this only happens occasionally. I remember going to the Braid Hills a few years ago, and there was a lady who had just arrived in that week, and she was 100 years old. And she was sitting right at the front, and another old lady came past her, and she clipped her foot as she walked past. And the old lady says, you meant that? And the lady says, no, no, it was an accident. She said, no, you meant that. And she stood up, and I had to go and separate them. And I thought, this is incredible. But these homes have a very busy entertainment program, so it's always advisable to phone up or call in to see the activities coordinator the day before the service, just to make sure that they'll be organised for your visit. But getting back to the church, we have to include older people in all of our activities as much as we can, make them feel part of things. And there are 7 principles that are linked to the practice of inclusion of older people in church life. The first one is making sure that all activities are age-aware. Secondly, being present, being kind, being compassionate, and being respectful as well. Using our time wisely, offering hospitality, listening and encouraging storytelling, praying, remember the praying part, and encouraging all to belong. Here's another wee verse. It's from 1 Peter 5:2, and it says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve." We shepherd these older people, not because we must, but because we are willing. And to be willing, our heart must be in the right place. We must be moved with kindness and compassion. If we're not, then even our greatest efforts will come to nothing. And for our hearts to be in the right place, we need to be in close fellowship with God. Our Bible reading, our prayer life must be good for our shepherding to be successful. I'm going to give you a few wee stories now about people that I've encountered over the years and some of the things that I've done as well. And the first one is an Alpha course, and I've done 3 senior Alphas since I've been here. The Alphas have been great, really good. We've sort of averaged between, that's a Monday Cafe. The Monday Cafe's been good as well. Next one. Right, Monday Cafe has been great, because you go there on a Monday, and my job is to go around the tables, listen to all the stories, and much the same as the senior citizens, as I mentioned earlier on, and find out what's going on in their lives, really, and getting alongside people, chatting with them. And the more you do that, the more you gain their confidence, and they trust you, and they tell you things, they open up about things that are happening in their life as well. The Alpha courses have been really good. I've had 3, as I said, since I've been here, seniors, there they are. The local nursing homes come to that too, and it's been really, really good. And of course, they tell you not to put on a DVD or a video, because lots of people are lonely, so you talk. And then they say, don't talk too long, but they give you a talk that's about half an hour long. So what I've done is I split it in 2, and then we had a little question and answering time as to what I'd already said. And then the second part of the talk, then some tea and coffee and cakes and biscuits and things like that. There was one older gentleman, I think he was about 95 when he came. He passed away last year at 97, and he came along and he got so into it that he started to read his Bible. He hadn't read his Bible since he was 14, and that was at 95. So I got him a large print Bible, and then he and his wife sat and read a chapter every night. So that's very encouraging. There's an older gentleman who used to sit in a wheelchair over there, and he was well into his 90s as well, and I used to visit him. And he used to say, you know, I've only been coming to the church a couple of years, but it's the greatest decision I ever made in my life. The people there are so kind, they're so friendly, and it's good just to be part of it. And of course, he came along as well to the senior citizens. There's a lady I used to visit up at Braid Hills, and she was a missionary, a retired missionary, and she was just so lovely. And of course, I used to chat away to her, and then I would pray with her at the end. And every time when I stopped praying, she had tears running down her cheek. And the last time I saw her, she took my hand and she kissed my hand. And I thought, wow, I'm so blessed. And then there was another chap called Alex. He came to the church about 2 years ago, but he never came into the church. He came to the counting house and he met Sally. Of all people you would want to meet Sally, don't you? Sally, he came and he asked, is there anyone could go and visit his elderly mother, who was in a nursing home down by Cameron Toll? She was a good Christian lady. She had been brought up in the Orkneys, and she was now 100. And could anyone? So I went to visit her, and she was really, really good. She could recite all the books of the Bible off by heart, and she knew the hymn book off by heart as well. So she used to sit and sing to me whenever I went to visit her. She was really nice. And then the last memory I have of her is that she sang Christmas Carol a couple of years to me before I left, and then she died not long after that. So that was really nice. She was a lovely, lovely lady. And then, of course, the chap who came up, her son, the chap who came up in the first place, he took seriously ill about 5 months later. And I was asked by his daughter if I would go and see him in the Marie Curie. And of course I did. And he only had a couple of days to live by this time. And he thanked me so much for doing the things for his family. And that was really nice as well. He put his forehead onto my forehead for some reason and said, thank you very much. So, good stories. And it's been a real joy and a pleasure to be here. But the last one is a guy called Tom. And this chap lives down in the Inch. And he has a son who lives in London. And he has friends in this area. So he emailed his friends in this area and says, my father's really struggling with alcohol. Is there anybody who could help him? And whoever this friend was emailed him back and says, well, there's a very good church called Liberton Kirk. If you could contact someone there, I'm sure that they would go and visit your father, in which he did. And of course, I went to see this chap, and well, the rest is history, if you like. Again, a very good relationship. So these are just a few of the stories. We now, of course, have a pastoral support group, which is great. And there's about 15 in this, and they have 2 to 4 people to visit each month as well. So that's very good too. But I remember well just over 10 years ago wondering what God had planned for me when I started work at Liberton Kirk. Because I'd worked with Bethany Christian Trust for 14 years before that. I was beginning to get to the point where I really needed a new challenge. In fact, I was 58 then, so I thought I could maybe hang it out till I was 60 and then retire. But I knew that God had something else for me to do. So I wondered what the people would be like here, what the work would entail, and how I would cope with all the pastoral issues that I would be faced with. But now, looking back in hindsight, I can honestly say that I've been blessed by God just by being here. Everyone has made me feel so welcome, and right from day one, I've felt part of Liberton Kirk. Although it must be said at times life was tough, especially when over the years you get to know someone and minister to them through hard times and serious illness, and then they pass away and I've taken their funeral. Even though it was a privilege to do so, it was still hard. Also, to see others you get to know and love go downhill physically and mentally. But even so, it was still great to be part of their lives, even just for that short time. So there's no doubt I'll miss you all, and I'll miss my work here, definitely, but I do not intend to disappear completely. As from time to time, I'm sure I will still attend the Sunday services here, the Monday Cafe, and the Senior Citizens. And of course, I'll miss as well the ministry team very much as well. They're a great bunch of people with a real will to serve God by serving you here in Liberton. And the Monday morning at 9 o'clock, was great. It was a great opportunity to minister to each other. The minister too has been a great help and an encouragement to me. He's a very good man, and he can always see the way that God is working in all situations. I think Liberton Kirk are very blessed to have him here. But like all ministers, he needs to be prayed for so that his ministry might be fruitful. So I suppose over the 10 years have been really, really good. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again just for the time I've had here and the people that I've met, Lord, and the people that I've been able to minister to. And we pray as well, Lord, for those that are struggling right now. And we know that there's people who are beginning to lose their memory. There's people who are going through tough times. Maybe physically they're not so good as what they used to be. There's people that are going for scans. There's people in hospital. There's people now in nursing homes. Lord, I pray that you would just come close to them. I pray, Lord, that you would just surround them with your love and that you would bless them. And whenever they have their weak moments, Lord, I pray that you would be their strength in their weakness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.